Cool. So who's been learning a lot this weekend? Yes? Do you feel like you have something to go home with that you can do differently? Who does not? Okay. So who feels like they didn't learn anything new, that they already knew everything that was taught this weekend? Mary! She's totally lying, totally lying. All right. And there's so much more to learn. And I just wanted to review for everybody to take a couple of minutes. You know, I talked about the program last night, and oftentimes people get real uncomfortable when, you know, you do this great weekend and then you say, oh, well, here's some program, and they think you just got me here to sell me something. And that's not the truth at all. Because what I find is I've had people who say, if I didn't offer something, it's like, you just gave me like 3-day glimpse of what's possible. How dare you not offer me something that I could take away? And that's why we do it. It's like, I can't teach you everything I know in 3 days. I can't even teach you everything I know in 3 years, okay? And I can't teach you everything you need in 3 days. I can't teach you everything you need in 3 years, but what I can do is invite you to study with me in a program and then stay as part of our community and have an ongoing support group throughout your life, throughout the life of your practice, and that we become a community because we need to change the state of healthcare. Who agrees that the state of healthcare needs to change? It's a disease care system. It's not a healthcare system. And who better but us to be the ones that change it? And we're at the ground floor. And I was mentioning to somebody last night, they were talking about like the Institute of Functional Medicine, which is an awesome organization, started out with one person having a dream, and now many medical doctors are being trained in functional medicine as a result. We're starting out here with this nutritional endocrinology, using nutrition, thoughts, emotions, to really shift the endocrinology of the body, to really shift and manipulate hormones, and using real food as medicine, in addition to supplements, in addition to what science has to offer in terms of functional testing, taking the best of what Western medicine has given us and making it even better and helping people in a really deep way and connecting with people. So that's why I offered what I offered. And I would love to have every single one of you on that journey with me because the numbers, right? We just increase and every person you interact with and you interact with and you interact with is just more that's going to help change the entire state of the medical system. So that unlike, you know, my parents who got very substandard care. They didn't even know they had problems because nobody told them they had the warning signs. Nobody told them that, you know, what they were eating and smoking and drinking was killing them until they died, right? Remember Tom O'Brien said yesterday, the 50% of people, that very first indication that they have heart disease is a fatal heart attack. I know that personally, both parents that happened to. They didn't get the warning. They didn't get the warning. Well, they did get the warning. We would have picked up the warning and told them about the warning. But medicine couldn't, didn't. That's what we can do, right? My sister, who was obese and got lymphoma, and I was complaining of being tired for years, and nobody ever told her that she needed to change her diet. She didn't have fresh food in her house. She just ate what TV told her to eat. She ate what society told her was the right thing to eat. And she got more and more obese, she got more and more sick, and she died at the age of 44. That shouldn't happen to people. And this, it's subtle signs that we can pick up, that we can pick up. So we are the future of healthcare. So if you're on the fence and, you know, wondering, should I do this or should I not? It's a big investment, I'm scared. Go to your heart and see what you want to do. And if you feel like you can do it on your own or there's other programs that feel that they resonate better for you, but do something. Don't just say, yeah, yeah, and play small. We all try to play small. I don't know enough to do that. Who am I to do that? Who am I not to do that? You know, a CPA, a guitar teacher, and you're, where are you from? Your background was computer programmer. I'm a computer programmer by training. Who else is a computer programmer by training, okay? Right? We all come from these different backgrounds and have gotten this passion for whatever reason. It's no accident that you're here, and it's no accident that suddenly you're like wanting to be a health coach from being a CPA or a computer programmer. Right? We are here to change the world. And some of you knew it from an early age and went to medical school and, you know, but now you're going, well, wait a minute, what they taught me there is not really healing people. It's just masking symptoms and they're getting worse. And so many people, like David Brownstein, when he talks, he's like, I get out of school, I was all excited and I start to do this stuff and it's not working. You know, the same people are coming back sicker and sicker every 6 months. What do I do different? Functional medicine, nutrition. That's what we're here for. So thank you for being here. And I would love to welcome as many of you as feel called to join us on this journey. And I welcome you who have. Stand up if you've already said yes. Thank you. And for those of you who have said yes, you'll join us. We'll have probably two tables reserved, and you'll meet everybody and get to really interact with everybody who's in. So everybody who's in and everybody who's said yes now, we're all going to get together, and anybody who decides before lunch, and you have till the end of the day to take advantage of the very big special that we're offering. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So let's get started. We have a lot to cover today. A lot. So we're going to pull it all together in terms of, but before we do, let's just go to our hearts. Just step into that person that you are already, and that dream that you have, building your own health coaching practice, touching the lives of dozens, then hundreds, then even thousands of people with your message, with your compassion, with your love. And just step into that bigness. We were all taught to be humble when we were small. Don't brag and don't be proud of yourself. It's not the thing to do. And I'm telling you not to brag, but not to be humble, to be, well, you can be humble, but you can be proud of the skills that you have and the love that you have, the heart that full of compassion that you have right now for helping to make a difference in this world. And know that you already are making a difference, and that every life that you touch, every person that you stop and chat with in the produce aisle when they look at your cart and they say, wow, what are you going to do with all that stuff? That you have that opportunity every single time to change a life. Every single time. So think about that when you're in the grocery store, when you're just walking around town, when you're in a restaurant and eating that big salad and all that fresh food and everybody else is eating their burgers and fries and they ask you why. It's an opportunity to open someone's eyes and to educate them that they don't have to be sick. It's not normal to degenerate as you age. It's normal to get better, more focused, more powerful as you step into your maturity. And take a couple more deep breaths and really sit with that feeling of the contribution that you have to make, that you are already making, and the bigness of what's yet to come. And then when you're ready, just open your eyes, open your hearts, and open up your brains, because I got more to teach you. Okay? So left brain, right brain, emotional, intellectual, it's all really important. And when you're working with people, it's not just about telling them what to do. It's about connecting with their heart and inspiring them. Thank you. So that's just our disclaimer. No D's, no T's. We're not diagnosing, we're not treating, we're not replacing medical attention. Because right today we are going to talk about some, I'll call them loosely protocols, but approaches that you can take depending on what you're finding with people. Remember from the first day how we built this chart? Have you all have it memorized? If I turn it off and I turn it back on with the animation, can you talk it through? If you can't, then I would encourage you to go back and listen to the recording. And whoever's not signed up for the, if you're in the program, you get the recordings automatically. So you don't have to sign up for them separately. If you're not, if you're deciding not to, I would encourage you to get at least get the recordings so that you can go back and listen to sections over and over again. Because you want to be able to explain a simplified version of this chart to people when they come in, because that's what motivates and inspires them. When they understand what that stress is doing to their body and how it's affecting all of their systems, everything, that's when you make an impact. And the tools that you use. I remember when I first got out of school and I took a program on health coaching before health coaching was, you know, even popular. And he was way before his times, and he gave us these charts that he used with his clients. And it was so helpful to be able to have a chart that I could sit there and show them what was happening in their body. And that's what it's really valuable. So yeah, this chart would blow them away. This chart would shoot their stress through the roof. But a simplified version of this chart would be very helpful for people to understand what's going on. The stress, acute stress, chronic stress feeds into the system. Adrenaline, cortisol has these effects on the body and on every system in the body and the thyroid. So we're going to go over a quick little overview of what's going to take to balance this, and then we're going to go into detail about each stage of adrenal fatigue, each type of thyroid dysfunction. I'm going to take you through the charts that we have in your book, and we're going to look at a few more of those adrenal stress indexes, so at least by the end you're going to be able to recognize stage one, stage two, stage three. So nutrients, foods, stress, environment, digestion, sleep, other hormones. That's all the things that we have to do to balance this HPAT axis. And remember that order matters. We've got to start with transforming the stress, whatever that stress is, whether it's the emotional stress or the stress of smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, breathing in toxic air. Got to manage the stress. Wouldn't you like to work there? That's my vision. My office on the beach. And I was so excited that we didn't coordinate our talks with Dr. Dave on the first day or Dr. Tom O'Brien yesterday. What did we all get back to? What did everybody get back to? It has to get fixed. The digestion, right? So people say, well, where do I start? I'm going to be a broken record. How's the digestion? And sometimes, like he said yesterday, it may not even be that they're having the obvious digestive woes, but there's this villus atrophy happening, and then there's the leaky gut happening, and then there's those antibodies that are getting built up over time. So I think everybody needs to start with a leaky gut protocol, and we'll show you a little bit about what that would be. Balancing blood sugar, largely overlooked in this space, wherever you go, is so critical, and so many people have the hidden blood sugar imbalances. Who's been testing their blood sugar over there? Any surprises? Anybody keeping it? Yeah. Yeah, up to 150s or something. Yeah. Anybody going above 110? Anybody have a reading above 110 over there? Okay. So after eating, did anybody test it about a half hour, 45 minutes after a meal? Yeah? And where was it?
I did a fasting blood test in the morning, and it was 80. And then 1 half hour exactly after eating lunch, it was 98.
Great. Now, the food you're eating here is probably a lot cleaner and lower in sugars and carbs than the food you're eating at home. So what you do is you go home, you get yourself a meter, you start testing. If the numbers you're finding at home are different, then you want to follow a 30-day metabolic reset, which would be eating like this, doing heart math, doing some burst training, and, you know, the following all the things that we teach in the insulin resistance practitioner training, which we're doing starting next month, and all of you have signed up, you're going to get in there. And that 30-day metabolic reset, big time. Big time. So go home. So if you've been responding well to the food here, then great. Then you go home and test it. If you're still responding well, then stick to it. But don't, you know, don't just go like, oh, I'm fine, and then go eat, you know, even a high glycemic raw food chocolate pie. The ones we have here were sweetened with Lohan or xylitol, not xylitol, we don't use that, but erythritol or stevia, which is not going to raise the blood sugar. So just check that out, because those date-ridden things for some people are like, you know, poison. Fix the mic.
Did you say that in order to be extremely healthy that you need to stay under 110 or 100?
Well, 100 is even healthier.
Okay, but in general?
But in general, 110, because 120, where there's documented evidence, but even at over 100, there's some evidence, there's some tests that have shown that the damage to the islet cells in the pancreas that produce the insulin is happening at over 100. So ideally below 100. I shoot for below 100, and I don't stay there all the time.
And that includes that includes after you eat? That half hour
that's your peak. Peak should never build. Yeah, exactly. And when you go home, you could test it more frequently and you figure out when your peak is. Your peak's going to be different based on the kind of food you eat. Like if you have a certain amount of fat in the meal, it's going to be at a certain time. If you have a certain amount of fruit or carbs or whatever, it may be much shorter. It may be at the more 15 minutes to a half hour is the peak if you're drinking fruit juice for sure. or even vegetable juice. So I find that for myself, because I have all these, you know, genetic tendencies towards insulin resistance and a lot of early environmental exposures to bad stuff. If I drink vegetable juice and I make a quart of vegetable juice and scarf it down in 15 minutes, my blood sugar is up through the roof. Not good. But if I just take it and drink it slowly or add some chia to it, it's lower. So you're going to find out for yourself. I highly recommend you do it yourself. And then work with a client. So that's why we laid it out the way we did, that, you know, if you're in the program, you get to go through the insulin resistance for yourself, learn it, and then take yourself and your client through it together. And that's going to be telling. It's great. And then, so blood sugar, and then, of course, repair and recharge the adrenals, and then you work on the thyroid. So the thyroid is not the first thing. You've got to go backwards in time. Okay, so the 4-hour program is what I recommend for the digestive reset. We'll just do briefly on this. We have a whole, you know, 8-hour module in the practitioner training program on it. But the 4-hour program was developed by Jeffrey Bland, who's a nutritional biochemist, you know, PhD in biochemistry. He's taught a lot of early functional medicine classes. I used to go to his classes almost every month or so when I was in school, and then after I got out of school and when I was living in California, there always was one of his programs going on. There's 4 R's, right? The first one is remove the irritants. So whatever foods, we have lists of the gut irritating foods, whatever the toxins are, whatever the organisms are. Okay, you got to get rid of them. You've got to replace what's missing, the enzymes and the nutrients. Most people are not eating enzyme-rich food, adding some enzymes to their food so they break it down, and adding the nutrient-dense foods like all the greens we're eating, the greens powders, whatever you can do to get them, to get it into people. And the powders tend to be a good first step for people who are not used to eating this way. You can find one that they like. The Ormus is nice because it's minty, and there are others. The one that tastes the best, quite frankly, is not the most nutrient-dense, but it's greens first. That's what I've started a lot of people on early on. It used to not be gluten-free, but now it is. Repair the damage. Okay, look at this. Tom had this same slide, the bigger version of it. That's like the little holes that are being poked into the lining of your digestive tract. That's the villi. And then there's the microvilli, the little guys there. And these guys get damaged, and they fluff down, and they flatten out. And that's a whole leaky gut protocol, which, you know, glutamine and arabinogalactans and marshmallow and plantain, and it depends on the person and there's no set protocol, but we teach various protocols for that. And then re-inoculate with the friendly bacteria. If you miss one of these steps, you're not going to heal their leaky gut. Okay, if you miss any of these steps, you're not going to heal the leaky gut. Re-inoculate friendly bacteria with a supplement, a pill, not as good as food, but a lot of people, it's the easy way out. The foods are going to be better, like Steph said the other day. Like, you can customize that to what they need. You can get the particular strain of probiotic that you want them to have more of. One of the things that you can look into is Saccharomyces boulardii, which is not a normal inhabitant of the gut, but it actually inhibits some of the bad guys in the gut and helps with implantation of the good stuff. An elimination diet, mandatory. Mandatory. If you don't get somebody on an elimination diet, they're not going to heal. And it doesn't mean that these are the foods that they are necessarily sensitive to, but they're the most common. So I will minimally get people off of these foods for as long as I can get them off, 4 days minimally, a month, you know, several months for some of them. Of course, the gluten, you don't want them going back on until they're completely 100% well. And then I would then go back and test those antibodies, that big antibody panel, just to make sure. And if they're not, then you continue on the elimination diet. And then foods that they eat frequently, foods that they crave, tend to be trigger foods. Foods that they're like, I need that food, and if I start eating it, I can't stop. Usually it's something that they're sensitive to. It's creating an endorphin rush in their body, and that's the stuff they need to be off of. I put people on a rare foods diet. I have them identify all the foods they hardly ever eat, and they're starting to eat these weird foods for days because they're unlikely that that's their trigger foods if they don't eat teff or they don't eat, you know, lamb's quarters or something along those lines. That lamb's quarters is a wild edible. It's not an animal product, by the way. And any things that they don't digest well. Okay, so that's the digestion. They have to restore the balance. Did you have a question here, Kenny?
Regarding the 4R program, what's your experience on duration? I know everyone's going to be different, but can you kind of do an average?
I will typically start with 30 days. I think less than 30 days, nothing's going to happen. Okay. Yeah, but you know, 30 days to 3 months to a year. Mm-hmm. But sometimes people will repeat it. I have a 30-day protocol that I've laid out, and some people just go through it and repeat it, and yeah. Okay. Yeah. And if there's a gut bug there, if they have a parasite or a candida or fungal overgrowth, then I'll have them do the repair, do that. Maybe they repeat the protocol to get rid of the bugs, maybe shift around some of the botanicals that we're using so that they get everything. And if they're willing to do a stool test, sometimes I won't even do a stool test first because they are short on money. So they don't want to be doing so many tests. So I'll say, let's assume, let's do some general stuff. Let's do a few little rounds of a protocol, and then let's test to see if there's anything left. And then if there's stuff still there, then we know we can specifically target what's still there. Yet you're working with a lot of parameters, right? You're working with people's budget. Somebody comes in, okay, I'm going to test whatever I need to. I'm dedicated to this. Then you can do a lot of the pre and post testing. Yeah, and yeah, you're going really gently, and you can play that by ear too. You ask them lots of questions, right? How do you respond if you try, have you ever tried to do a protocol? Do you get headaches easily when you go on a clean diet for a few days? Or have you ever tried doing like a cleansing program? So you get a feel for it. But yeah, if you have all that information up front, you've done their genetics and you know whether they have compromised pathways, then you know to go really slowly. And I always go really slowly. So I go really slowly with them. And if they respond really well, then good, they're robust. We can really target it. But if they start to, it's going to take a lot longer if you're going to have to go much more slowly. And you've also got to watch when you're killing off parasites or bugs, they have endotoxins stored. You know, he talked about yesterday the lipopolysaccharides, and there's all kinds of other endotoxins that they release. And you get something called the Herxheimer reaction, which is you start this protocol and you feel worse before you feel better. And some people like to try to muscle through it, and you could, if you wanted to, but you want to support that. You want to do a lot of antioxidant support and slow it down so that you're gently. People say, oh, it's more pain, more gain. It's not really that way, because those endotoxins can create problems. They can cause more damage. So you go really slowly. You go to their space. So 30 days might be, you know, several of these 30-day processes, because you're moving so slowly. Even recreating the gut flora with fermented foods or probiotics, you're going to have to go slow. And I usually do. Like, some people say, here, just give them 200 billion organisms. And I work them up to that. I'll start with a lower dose. And okay, every few days, add a little bit more. If you get to the point where you get a little bloaty or gassy or feel like, then you want to back off and stay at a certain level and then increase it. Studies have shown that you can actually kill off a lot of the pathogenic bacteria with a 200 to 400 billion microorganisms a day. But if you just say, here, start taking 400 microorganisms a day, it's like a war going on down there, like, and they don't feel so hot. But you can build them up to that gradually, and oftentimes I'll ramp them up to it gradually, but then you don't want to drop it back down to a maintenance dose. Then I'll drop them back down slowly, and we'll figure out what maintenance dose you might want to have them on. So there's a lot there. There's the five steps to restoring insulin. Oh, sorry, yeah, questions.
For someone on a budget, what lab tests would you suggest?
Well, for somebody on a budget, I don't suggest lab tests, because they're all about the same. They're all expensive. So if you're looking for gut flora lab tests, so certainly you want to get the thyroid testing, and that most insurance will cover, or you can do it direct labs inexpensively. But most of the gut tests are in the $300 or $400 range. So that's why I said we can use your clinical judgment to say, I really think this person has some parasite stuff going on, and there's questionnaires you can have them do. We have all kinds of questionnaires for that. And you say, okay, I think they have this, and you work with it. If you're hitting a wall and they're not getting better, then you go and you do the testing. Things like H. pylori, sometimes that's very specialized, but a lot of the tests are negative. So a false negative. So I'll work with those things, and if I really do suspect an H. pylori, I might put them on some of the herbs that are known to help with it, if they're on a budget. If they're not on a budget, then I want them tested. So yeah, they're all in the neighborhood of $200 to $400. Doctor's Data has a really minimum one for in the $200 range. The BioHealth one I find them to be the most effective in terms of the microorganism tests, because they find stuff that some of the other labs don't. They do a very careful process, and they do 4 stool samples to make sure that they catch it. So that's my favorite in terms of that. That's about, I think it's like $330 or something for their panel. So for sugar, we got to balance the sugar. You have sugar imbalances and swings. You're gonna have gut flora imbalances too. So they feed each other. So you want to increase the insulin sensitivity. We usually do some nutrients to do that: chromium, magnesium, DHA, lipoic acid. You want to decrease their insulin need, and that's what the diet comes in. And notice I have them in the reverse order of you might think. I'm not changing their diet and then giving them the supplements, because they're having cravings because of the imbalances. So sometimes if I give them the supplements first for a week or two, and then we have them do the dietary changes and get the sugars, the sweet stuff out of there, the carbohydrates, then they're doing much better. So increase the sensitivity of the receptors, decrease the need, reduce inflammation. And that's, you know, some of the nice herbs like ginger and turmeric and fatty acids, making sure their fats are balanced. We go through lots of detail on each of these. Optimize their fat burning and lean muscle mass building. That's timing of going to bed, timing of your exercise and food. That's burst exercise training. It's going to increase lean muscle mass and the fat burning. And then finally, minimize the impact of candy bar eating effects of stress, right? That's the stress management. You know, I told you when I got really stressed out because I was just determined that I was going to be really angry, instead of using my heart math, my blood sugar went up. It's like, I just ate a candy bar, might as well. So those are the steps, and we're going to go through those in detail over 6 weeks. Actions that rebalance the adrenals. This is the overview, and we're going to drill down into the particular stages. But the overall stuff that anybody with adrenal stress needs to do is, of course, chill out, right? Doing the heart math, doing the affirmations, doing whatever it takes to chill out. Some of the stuff Deborah is going to share with us later. Balance the energy fields. De-stress activities, right? That's the same thing. Hormone reset actions, right? Some of the things we talked about with blood sugar, with cortisol levels. Movement, sleep, diet, nutrients, herbs, and bioidentical hormones. And that's in order because, yeah, you can give people bioidentical hormones, but that's not step one. That's in the process because sometimes you just need to give them that. And the fortunate thing with adrenals is that you can give them over-the-counter bioidentical hormones. We haven't gotten that taken away. It's just really simple substances like pregnenolone and DHEA. I'll show you in the protocols when it's appropriate to use them very, very carefully. They're very powerful, but you got to be doing the other stuff, not just jump right into bioidenticals. And Tom O'Brien said the same thing like I said the first day, is that we say, oh yeah, I'm a holistic MD. I do bioidentical hormones. So if somebody has a problem with their thyroid, I'm going to give them bioidentical thyroid. But what about all the other stuff? What about supporting it with diet and herbs and nutrients and de-stressing and all the other things? So the bioidenticals, it's a hierarchy of what you're going to give them. Yeah. Yeah, so chromium. Yeah, I'll say to people, look, you're going to have food cravings. If I tell you, okay, I want you to take out the sugar, they're like screaming, and they're just like this. And we get them on the chromium, people go, oh, my God, I can't believe that chromium, or the, whatever it turns out to be for them. But chromium, in most cases, is the top one. Yeah, yeah. Chromium, magnesium, DHA are the top three. We may go with vanadyl sulfate. You got to be careful with that because it can cause kidney issues if you go more than a month, but it's sometimes real powerful for cutting that. Yep, cinnamon can cut down cravings. There's a lot of things like that. Yep. And then, of course, lifestyle support for the thyroid. It's stuff that you've got to avoid those environmental toxins. You've got to avoid the halides, right? You've got to avoid all that. The halides, right? What are the halides? Fluoride, chloride, chlorine, and fluorine. Well, avoid the tap water. Most people, they don't even know that the tap water is contaminated with thyroid-inhibiting substances. So if you tell them, look, your tap water is making you fat, get a water filter. They're like, huh? Well, it's binding to the iodine receptors. The bread that you're eating, not only is it gluten, there's bromine in there, dough conditioners. So the bromine is inhibiting the iodine uptake by the thyroid. What else? Yeah, grow your own vegetables. You know, people are like on a budget. Grow a garden. Grow some sprouts. Use seawater to remineralize. It's awesome stuff, right? Minimize the thyroid inhibitors, right? Pesticides are huge inhibitors. All of the toxins are inhibitors. So when they say, oh, I can't afford organic food, well, can you afford to be exhausted and not work? Right? There's a trade-off, and you've got to be able to do that. And a lot of the people who say, no, I can't afford organic food, are off buying tickets to the baseball game, and they're going to the movies every Saturday night, or they're eating out in restaurants and spending a lot of money. And you help them with their budget and to reallocate the funds towards their health and see how much is it costing you to be scrimping on this stuff. And alkaline versus acid diet. That's a really important one. If you don't know what that is, go look up alkaline acid diet, get an alkaline food chart. I will tell you, I've taken an acid alkaline food chart and on a first visit say, oh, we've got a lot of work to do. And why don't you start here? Here's this chart and I want you to eat the foods from this side of the chart are alkaline. So 80% of the food you eat is here, 20% is here. He goes, oh, you mean I could still eat as long as it's 20%? Not making major changes. Wow, I could still eat my hamburgers. As long as it's 20% of your diet, you know. And that alone gives a major. I had somebody call me up 4 days later. My knee pain, I've had it for 30 years. Can it go away that quickly? Now, that's not common that it goes away that quickly. But yeah, we hit the source. You were so acidic that just alkalizing. When you tell them to alkalize, I don't have the chart in front of me, but this is the side of the chart that's alkaline. It's loaded with all the alkaline vegetables and whole, you know, essential fats and all that. Makes a huge difference. And it's simple stuff that they can do, right? And then what else do we have? Alkaline diet. We have the estrogen. High estrogen causes those the problems with the binding globulins. Well, if people are not eating enough cruciferous vegetables, especially if they have some of the SNPs that affect the methylation, they're not detoxifying their estrogens and they just keep being reuptake. So things like more cruciferous, if they're not willing to right away go to more cruciferous, get them on a supplement of DIM, diindolmethane, or I3C, indole-3-carbinol. And that's a starting point. Or some of those concentrated broccoli sprout extracts, right? If they won't eat the food, start with the extracted powders and then you move them towards the food. What else do we have here? The thyroid. Oh, exercise, of course. Massaging the thyroid. I mean, you can just teach them to massage their thyroid and bring circulation to their thyroid. And go look online and Google it, thyroid massage. Teresa Tapp's site has some good stuff on exercises that you can do to maximize the circulation and impact on the thyroid. And then, of course, exercising, rebounders, T-tap, burst training, 30-second burst, start, stop. So these are some of those things. In your packet, just to go back to the insulin thing, because you have a lot of questions about it, there's a page 35 and 36, we go through a step-by-step, a little bit more detail about the insulin resistance protocol. This is like a fraction of the thickness that you're going to get in the insulin program, but that would be a good one. Then... okay. Yeah, so the other thing I want to mention is on page 21, there's an overall checklist, and you can even give this to people. You can just give them this list and say, okay, this is some of the stuff we're going to do. Check off the ones you're already doing. And so it's on page 21 of 68 of your handouts, and it's adrenal supportive diet and lifestyle. That's in a nutshell, an overview. And it helps you to just take it through. Maybe you'd make a copy of this and keep it in someone's chart. And you go, okay, I talked to them about this already. I talked to them about this. What's the next piece we're going to do? And then you can step by step take them through, you know, little bits at a time. Because people, you just go and hand them like I did in my first couple of years in practice, or a couple of months anyway. It's like, oh, this is all the stuff you need to do. Just do this 14 pages of stuff and you'll be fine. And they go, oh, thank you very much. See ya. And I wondered why they didn't come back. And low estrogen can be an issue as well. And then you want to look at estrogen balance. That Meridian Valley test that we're going to give away is awesome because then you look at E1, E2, E3, the balance. A lot of people, because they're low in iodine, they're not converting to estriol, which is the protective estrogen, the one that pulls those estrogens, the unbound ones, out. So you want to really stimulate those pathways and get them moving. Yeah, absolutely. It can be a problem too. The high estrogen is more of a problem specifically for the thyroid because it increases the binding globulin. That's why. Yeah. Okay. All right. So the other thing I want us to go through, now that we've gone through the overview, we're going to go through more details on each of the pieces. So I want you to right now take out page 22 through 28 in the handouts of 68.
And I have a question.
Yes.
Apologies for interruption.
No problem.
Just can you speak to the brassicas, raw, steamed?
Yeah. Either. Whatever works. Whatever works. If you're interested, if you're asking about the goitrogenic effects of brassicas, go to my blog and read the post. I am just kind of tired of that talk that I do every single talk I ever do. I get the question of, but don't raw brassicas inhibit the thyroid? They could, yeah. Read the article. There's a lot of research, and I believe that it's dose dependent, and for most people, it's not a problem.
Also, your last Vital Healing talk, your topic, as well as the Vital Healing Kitchen.
Yeah, and if you do nothing else, if you're not in any other programs, decide not to do this, just join my Vital Healing Kitchen for $25 a month. And every month we get a new health topic call, or better yet, join it for a year. Talk to Scott, he'll give you a deal to join it for the year. And you'll get the whole library of what, 50, 75, 100 different recordings, all the food classes, all the different topics. It'll give you overviews, ideas of the way you can speak to your clients about that. For you guys that don't know that you have all that access, you said, oh my God, I'm always finding some new videos and audios that I have. But that's available to the general public. It's kind of like my way of giving back. I mean, we put a lot of work in it. It costs us a lot of money to maintain that site, but we only charge either $25 a month. Some people get it for 20 because they've joined another program, or like 150 a year. Like $15 a month, it's some ridiculous amount, and you get me three times plus a Q&A, you know, so it's really good stuff. Not at the practitioner level, but it's at a level where you can, you know, get ideas for teaching people. And for some of you, it's at a good level, you know, just go for it. There's the overview stuff is there. It's an awesome site. I mean, we're very proud of it. And next month's Jeff, and maybe even Jane, if we can convince her, is going to be my guest chef. And she's going to be breast health is our topic, and she's going to be talking about the fermented foods and how that affects the whole cycles and the estrogens, and she's going to show us. It's going to be practical because it's going to be in my kitchen, and she and I are going to be in my kitchen together. Yay! And we're going to be filming it, so I'm excited. Yeah, and if you haven't gone to her site yet, SethJackson.com, go there because she's got amazing stuff, and we're working on a free report on fermented foods. So she'll be having that out soon, especially after our day together. She's in the program, the Practice Accelerator, and she's coming up on her VIP day. And we're going to just map out her entire practice and the ebooks, and then we're going to start plugging away and getting those finished, getting it out there. So it's exciting. So adrenal restoration protocols, you see it? It's a five categories of pieces. There's lifestyle activities. There's food. There's nutrients, herbs, and hormones. And I separate food and nutrients because food first, and then we look at nutrients that will supplement that. And in the wholest, freshest form we can, liquids as much as you can if you're getting people on supplements, because there's a cellulose capsule around it. If you've got somebody with impaired stomach acid, poor digestion, how much of that is actually going to be getting into their system? Is their stomach acid strong enough to break down that cellulose capsule? Is it going to wait and go out the other end? People who are x-ray techs say, oh my God, we see all these little capsules in people's intestines. Well, is that going to do any good if it's in their large intestine? It's going out the way, and that's a waste of money. So I like to get people on liquids as much as possible, secondary powders. So with minerals, some minerals are so hard to absorb and are so reliant on having the right stomach acid, I'll have them do the ionized liquid minerals, and there's a whole series of them. Good State has them, then there's other companies that have them, but that seems to be my new favorite. Yeah.
Did you say DHA or DHEA?
DHA, yeah. DHA for the blood sugar balance, DHEA for adrenals. Okay, so what we're going to do is, you've got a lot of information here. The overview is read page 23 because it's going to talk about specific foods, breakfast choices, lunch ideas, a snack attack strategy, right? People want snacks and they get that. Well, go through this strategy. Tune into the sensation. Is it hunger? Is it emotion that's driving you to eat? A lot of time it's emotion. A lot of time calling a friend or taking a bath will satisfy that craving. Is it thirst, hunger or thirst? Drink 16 ounces of water, wait a half hour. Still hungry? Eat. Sometimes you're not. It's thirst. Satisfy the hunger in the ways that are most healthful. And then I give you a snack attack strategy. Help them to start with green water, green juice, you know, and it goes down so that the healthy, because a lot of times it's mineral. I find myself, if I'm suddenly like, I'm just starving, I've got to eat. And I'll eat something nutrient and calorie dense, and I'm still hungry. And I mean, I did this happen once when my kids were little, and I suddenly said, I've just eaten 800 calories worth of food, and I'm still hungry. What's going on? And I made up a big pot of steamed broccoli, and I ate the whole thing, and the hunger went away. And then I realized, oh, my body was craving the minerals, the nutrients, and I was eating dense foods because I had little kids running around and I'm trying to keep up with them, and I'm, you know, just popping nuts or bread or whatever else I was eating at the time. Not gluten bread, but anyway, well, maybe it was gluten bread. Maybe it was sprouted whole grain, because that was 15 years ago. But I realized that. And so now every time I get that start, I go, oh. And I just make up a big pot of steamed vegetables because I could eat more of it, or a big green juice, and then I drink that and it satisfies it. Okay. And then we have on page 26 is some of the general nutrients to support adrenal function. And I'll go through a few of these. And then we'll go through the stages of adrenal fatigue and which ones fit. Vitamin C is important for all stages of adrenal fatigue because cortisol zaps the vitamin C. We use a lot of vitamin C. I usually recommend people start with 100 milligrams 2 to 3 times a day, or get them to bowel tolerance. What does that mean, bowel tolerance? Look up vitamin C flush. We have that in the programs. And you can take them through that process of building up to where they just take enough vitamin C that if they took any more, they're going to be having diarrhea. And that will help flood their tissues. You tell them that that may change. So you may be at that level for a few days and then start to have loose stools, then back it off. When you get that level, then you're flushing and replenishing your system with the vitamin C. Liposomal vitamin C won't cause that, but much more expensive. So oftentimes I'll have people do liposomal, maybe anywhere from 1 to 3 grams a day. I mean, it's like $1 a gram for liposomal C. So if you're taking 1 gram a day, that's $30 a month just for the C. But it does get into the system faster. So people who have a lot of bowel disruption, but they need a lot of C, the liposomal can work, and you can do, you know, a few months of 2 to 3 grams a day. But you're not going to do 20 grams a day of liposomal C unless you have somebody who's got an unlimited bank account. It's hard to do. Whereas with the powdered, I like the PERC, Potency Plus or Potency, something like that, because it's fully reduced. But for some people, it causes gut irritation. But I love that particular brand. Vitamin B5, super important for any stage of adrenal fatigue. It's what helps convert the cholesterol down into pregnenolone. So if you have somebody who has adrenal fatigue, they have low hormones but high cholesterol, you're going, wait a minute, but you told me that cholesterol was the precursor. They have plenty of cholesterol, why are their hormones low? They're not converting it. They're not getting it into the steroid pathway. You need that B5 to get it in. Okay, so 500 milligrams 3 times a day, huge dose, and you can find dramatic changes with that. Vitamin B6, in the form of P5P, pyridoxal 5-phosphate, because it's the activated form, I usually 25 to 50 milligrams a day. Not everybody needs it, but most people do. Very important for the interconversion between the different hormones, and also big time for neurotransmitters. So especially, you know, somebody with the depression component of a thyroid, it's going to help them with their serotonin and dopamine production, the B6. B-complex, you know, everybody needs to have good Bs. If they're not on a good, healthy diet to start, they're going to be depleted. A lot of this is going to be an initial stage. You're going to put them on a lot of supplements if they're not willing to do a lot of diet changes. And then you say, are you sick and tired of taking these pills? Well, let me talk to you about how you can do this with your diet. Let's try this, and then we can back off of that. But sometimes if they've got a Crohn's disease, if they've got had a long-term leaky gut, if they have low stomach acid, they're not going to be able to extract all that from the food. They need the high doses. And that's why I like the liquids, because you can take them on an empty stomach and get them absorbed directly into the bloodstream, as opposed to having to go through the whole digestive process. Magnesium is super important. Green leafy vegetables are your best source of magnesium. Green juices, green smoothies, green. As they're transitioning, you get them on a magnesium supplement, glycinator or citrate. Again, depending on the gut, some people's guts don't tolerate citrate, so you put them on glycinate. If they have neurotransmitter stuff, sometimes magnesium taurate. We're going to go through all of this in the micronutrients in like minute detail, but just giving you the overview. The trace minerals are super important. You can get the test kit over there. Emerson Ecologics will sell those test kits to you. As practitioners, you just call them up and you say, hey, I want to set up a practitioner wholesale account. then you get everything at 40 to 50% off the retail. And especially if you're recommending, if you have a practice in an office, you keep a few things on hand and you can order it. Or you can set up a store with them where you can just send your clients there to order stuff and you get a commission. It's nice. It's a nice setup. Yeah.
Is it the same if we mix powder, green powder into water or juice?
That's awesome.
It's the same.
It's awesome, but it's not the same as the isolated. You know, they may not be getting, they're not going to get the same amount of pantothenic acid. So we use the therapeutic levels of the nutrients to jumpstart the system, and then we move them to just getting
into
it from their food. I take very little in the way of supplements right now. I will add some minerals. I'll take some, I get a gut feel of what I need. If I've been depleted, if I've been running around, if I'm traveling, I always take supplements because I don't get as good a diet when I'm traveling. I take my green powders, I take my protein powders, I take my liquid minerals. I'm really, really good about that. Okay. People asked me about the MTHFR on the call this morning when we did the Q&A with the webcast. Well, I have this MTHFR thing, what should we do? Well, the MTHFR genetic thing affects that your ability to utilize and make methylfolate. So taking methylfolate is one option, but people can back up some other pathways. If they take the methylfolate, get it from the food. Green leafy vegetables, the best source of methylfolate. Best, absolutely. I told you my voice would start to go by day 3. Essential fatty acids, we talked yesterday. If you were here last night for the Q&A, who took the picture? You took the picture. We drew a really, I on the spot was drawing biochemical pathways sitting here on stage of how the fatty acids are processed in the body. We have all those charts, of course, in our program, but we drew it out and we talked about it, like why, you know, flax seeds, but maybe flax seeds and chia seeds weren't going to convert down to EPA. Do we need fish oils or algae oils to do that concentrated? How can we improve those pathways? Fatty acids are super important. Potassium is important for a lot of folks, and I find that this one's key when we start to do the blood sugar balancing and we take away a lot of those foods that are high glycemic. They also are good sources of potassium, so the bananas and the potatoes and things like that. But broccoli is a great source of potassium, so you increase their broccoli. But sometimes I find when people first go on that low glycemic diet, that 30-day metabolic reset, they're waking up with leg cramps even though they're taking magnesium. And that shocked me when it first started. I'm like, you're taking all this magnesium, and we're like, oh, potassium. So we got them to take some potassium or increase their broccoli or, you know, make a blended soup with broccoli, and boom, you know, the leg cramps go away. So that's really important for the adrenals as well. And then chromium, because the adrenals are so supported by blood sugar, the chromium is important. We talk about that with the other, but 200 micrograms 4 times a day can be what the person needs. That's what's been shown in studies to get the blood sugar balanced. And I teach in the blood sugar balancing how to get people to wean themselves off of the supplements, because people say, oh, well, I got the results, I'm going to stop my supplements. I'm like, no, because people just do that and suddenly they're back to where they started from. We slowly decrease the amount of the supplement, watch the function. Watch the blood sugar. The blood sugar starts to creep up. You go back up on that supplement. If it doesn't, then you go back it down a little further. And then you back it down a little further. Because the last thing you want is people to either start taking too much at a time or drop it down too quickly. And that's what I see a lot of people will go. They'll go to a naturopath who, well-meaning, does an adrenal test, gives them an adrenal supplement, doesn't say, okay, I want you to come back, and doesn't monitor them. And they don't come back in 3 months to retest and to see if they need to adapt that. And they said, oh, yeah, that doesn't work for me. I already did that. It doesn't work for me. Well, sure, it doesn't work for anybody to just go to the over-the-counter, buy a Gaia adrenal supplement and expect that magically it's going to fix your adrenals, because there's so much more. There's so much more. Vitamin E, you know, important antioxidant. A lot of people are low in it. All your good food, your good unroasted, unheated nuts and seeds, good sources of vitamin E, right? Once you make it into an oil, you're losing it. You'll notice a lot of the flax oil, they add vitamin E, because once you break down that oil, you're going to oxidize, and you need the vitamin E to help it from oxidizing. So I'm not a big fan of oils, although therapeutically I'll use coconut oil with people, especially with gallbladders missing, because it's very easy to absorb fat. They'll get those fatty acids into their system. So lots of, and then Alzheimer's and coconut oil. So those are your general adrenal restoration protocols. Well, you want the right mix. You want the mix tocopherol. Sometimes I'll use the tocotrienols, which is just like rice bran extract. I'll use that as a whole food supplement. I've struggled with that because I like the liquids. Metagenics used to have a really good micellized vitamin E that was mixed tocopherols, and they don't have it anymore. So, yeah, I haven't really found a brand that I'm in love with. No, sorry. I haven't used red palm oil. It tastes nasty. It's high in antioxidants. So red palm oil, we're hearing. That's a new one. I'll look into that.
There's a brand called Unique E, which is very high quality. And I don't, the naturopath that I've been working with, he recommends it almost exclusively.
Unique E. Is it liquid or is it a?
It's gel caps.
Yeah. So the thing with your fat soluble, as much as you can find your fat soluble in a micellized form, usually a liquid micellized, they're going to go right in. Micellized means it's broken down into teeny, teeny particles that can go right into what's called the chylomicron in the intestinal tract. It goes right in. It doesn't have to go through the whole lipase and bile and all that. They just get right in the system. And the more you can give people things that are going to go right into their system and bypass the function that may be thwarted while you're building the function, we're not just giving them crutches. We're giving them a crutch while we're rebuilding the functions, and then we can take the crutch away and have them work with an intact system. And in some cases, they're not going to be able to build that back again because maybe they've had permanent damage. Maybe they've had a resection of their colon because part of it was damaged and a whole piece of jejunum is missing, or a piece of the duodenum is missing. So you're missing part of your digestive surface or your absorptive surface. There's going to be impairments, and they're going to need the extra support permanently because you're not going to put their colon back in.
I actually have several questions.
Okay.
Okay. One, with oils, are they considered highly processed? How does that fit in with the...
Yeah, oils are not a whole food, and a lot of people are big on whole food nutrition. Oils are not whole food. Oils have been extracted. The carbohydrate component, the protein, and the fiber is removed. Sometimes we use oils therapeutically, like we were talking earlier. You might use colostrum or a clarified butter or something is therapeutically because you want those particular fatty acids in the body. But just really, oils are culinary. You know, the whole idea of making them something into an oil is, it gives it a nice mouth feel. And yeah, I'll use a little olive oil here, a coconut oil there, or you want a candy that hardens, so you put some coconut oil in it. But is that the ideal food? No. Is it a good food for people who have the impaired digestion who may not be able to extract that oil out? Yes. Yes, absolutely.
What about tyrosine in people with adrenal fatigue cycles?
Yes, so tyrosine was the last nutrient on there that we didn't touch. And tyrosine is an awesome amino acid because it's a precursor to what hormone did we talk about the other day that had tyrosine as a base?
And it's some, they were...
Thyroid? Thyroid, right? It's a precursor to norepinephrine, epinephrine, or downstream from it, and it's a precursor to, So it's important for adrenal function, and it's important for neurotransmitter function. It's a precursor to dopamine. So very important.
Some of them were commenting they actually liked the taste of the red palm oil.
Oh, cool. To each his own. I'll have to try it. Now I'm curious.
Do you recommend Remag since you...
I love Remag. I use Remag myself. It's a pico size, really teeny tiny particle size magnesium from Carolyn Dean, who's one of the world's foremost researchers on magnesium. She's an MD, ND, and she's awesome. I met her at a conference last year. She's just really... We were supposed to get her on the radio show, and she told me to call her. She never responded, did she? Oh, boy.
Why no bees late in the day?
Oh, because bees can be stimulating. Some of the bees, not all of them, but if you do a bee complex late in the day, I have people take their bee complex in a liquid form, and like an hour later, they're like, ooh, somebody, that my new best friend is my bee, my liquid bee, because it gives them so much energy. For others, it doesn't do the same. So I would just say you can do B12 later in the day, which is kind of weird, but B6 you can do at bedtime because it helps to support making more of the serotonin, which then makes melatonin.
And what was the name of the company for the minerals to set up an account?
Oh, Emerson Ecologics, it's not for the minerals. It's, well, for those minerals, but for everything. They have a lot of the big name brands. They have Pure Encapsulations, Gaia, Herb Farm, and it's Emerson Ecologics. Yeah.
That's it.
One of the things I forgot to mention yesterday is that for some of you guys, you can order labs because you're MDs or you're NDs or whatever, but others, you can't order labs directly from certain companies. Direct Labs allows you to order a lot. You can get a lot of Genova and Metametrics through Direct Labs. They charge you a whole lot more than when you order them direct, but it gives people direct access to those. BioHealth, you can't. And they are very strictly controlled by their CLIA in California. But we made an arrangement that everybody that's in the program, that we send them the names, they will. When you're going to get a little form to create an account with them under my account, so that I'm basically the authorizing physician on the account, and you can actually order it. So even if you're a health coach or you're whatever you are that you don't have a license to order labs, you can do it. We made that arrangement so far with BioHealth, with Meridian Valley. And who else? Lynn would know. We're still working on it with some others as well. But with Metametrics and Genova, we're not doing it because you can order those through Direct Labs, and they were really picky about it anyway. Like, why are you making me jump through hoops to do this? When you go through Direct Labs, I'll send people to Direct Labs. So anyway, that's another perk about being in the program, that we're setting that up so that you can actually be ordering these tests and you can get them for your clients. They will come through me because they said they want it to come through. I'll get every one of them so that if I see any red flags, I'm gonna say, hey, hey, Mary, you just ordered this test, and I want to make sure to tell me what your thought process is on this test, because I'm seeing like we got to be careful and hopefully, guide her through why that there may be a red flag that of things we need to do, so we can monitor that. Yeah. Any other questions before we move on? All right, questions about that? That's the general adrenal protocols. The next thing is, let's go to, where is my, did I miss it? Oh, I missed it. That was only the first two pages. I put it down. I'm like, oh, okay. That was just the first two pages. All right. So then we go to, let's look at adrenal stage 1, 2, and 3 and just look at the specific things. When they're in adrenal stage 1, what do we want to do? Do we want to calm them up, down, or rev them up? Stage 1. We want to calm them down. Yes. Said, oh, the page 15 of 68 in the handout section. Everybody there? I got it, thanks. Need the exercise, get my quads working. We good? Everybody got that page? So we just have a page for each herb suitable for stage 1, 2, and 3. In your handout, you also have a more detailed description of each herb and the indications and all that. But this is kind of an overview for starting up. So you want to calm people down. So the three that I chose to put here would be milky oat, passion flower, and rhodiola. We're not going to give somebody a licorice root in stage 1. That's just going to rev them up. We don't want to do that. So you really be careful about that. In stage 1, they're more likely to have hypertension, right? Because they're rah. So we don't want to give them any licorice root. We'll see where we're going to put that in. So milky oat will calm the nerves. It just, it's this tranquility. And you can read the indications. I've given you indications. If you read that and that sounds like the person you're working with, great. Not, you don't have to give them all of that. I love passion flower for the people who have the chatter, 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 chatter. Oh, you have to do this, and tomorrow you have to do this, and this, and this. And that happens to me sometimes. I'll just get off the computer and I get into bed. Wrong thing to do, right? You're supposed to have 2 hours between the computer use and bedtime. We'll learn that in the blood sugar balancing. But I do it normally. I just fall right to sleep and I'll lay there going, oh, I got to make sure I do this. Oh, I got to make sure I do that. And my mind is going. I have my little passion flower tincture and I just do. It shuts down. It shuts it down. It just quiets that, just very calming. And that's what it's known for. It works beautifully for me. It may not work for everyone, but I know, is Donna in the room? Is Donna still, she's going to be talking to us this afternoon, but she and I spoke one day when we got her adrenal test back and she had this high number. And she goes, what am I going to do about that bedtime number? I said, well, you're having trouble falling asleep? Well, you know, sometimes, just because I'm worried about this and I'm thinking about that. So we talked about the herbs she got, herbs she played with, which ones worked for her, found the ones that worked for her, and they're just like, you know, soothes them into restful sleep. Rhodiola you have to be a little bit more careful with, because in very low doses, rhodiola can be stimulating, and in higher doses, it can be sedating. So you have to be able to find that threshold for somebody. So know that if you give somebody rhodiola in stage one to calm them down and they go, what was that? I'm like all revved up. I have all this energy. You go, you didn't take enough. Usually you go, oh, you took too much. No, you didn't take enough. You're still in that passive, you know, the calming stage. Let's have you increase the dose. Right, so I give you some guidelines about the amounts in here, the tinctures and which types. So some people want to drink teas, and some people are going, you want me to do what? You want to boil herbs and make a tea? What are you, nuts? Isn't there a pill I can take? You can give them a pill, or you can give them a powder to throw in their smoothie, or you can give them capsules to take. And I've given you a little bit of an indication there. On page 16, we have, what do you do for stage two? What kind of herbs would be good for stage two? Well, what's happening in stage two? Are they revved up? Are they slowed down? Maybe. What else? They're probably up and down, right? So with them, you're usually, because if they're perfectly calm, they're normal, right? But you want to be able to say, well, what time of day are they revved up? And when are they slowed down, and when do I have to do this? And that's the beauty of doing that test, because you could say, well, I'm going to give you something to get you up in the morning, and then I'm going to give you something to calm you down later in the afternoon and evening. So the kinds of things, and there are some things that are very, they'll learn what your body needs and give it to you. And that sounds like a really hokey concept, like this is a plant. What the heck does this plant know about my body? But there are plants that have this, their energy will be balancing. And one of my herbal teachers, well, David Winston, has anybody ever heard of David Winston? He's a Cherokee, and he knows Cherokee medicine. He also knows Chinese medicine. He knows Ayurvedic medicine and Western, all the herbs. And so I did a two-year course with him, and he's brilliant because he teaches the biochemical pathways, but then he also teaches the energetics and the spiritual nature of the herbs. So he had us do one project where we had to pick an herb that we didn't know, and go out or plant and have it, find it growing somewhere if we could, or buy it growing, and then sit with it and have it give us a message. And so we said, you know, the Cherokee way is you give it some, you offer it some tobacco as an offering, and then you say, what's your message for me? What can I learn from you? And just sit there and see what comes to you, and then write it all down, and then go look the herb up. And you'll be shocked at how much it lines up. He talked about how he had this patient and he was dealing with, he didn't know what to do, and he was just, and he's walking by and he just was walking past, and one of the plants, it was nettle, that said, nettle root, because nettle root, we use nettle leaves for this, and we use, but nettle root, what the heck? And he started using it, and he really helped. I think it was with prostate or kidney. I can't remember whether it was prostate or kidney. So he starts using this and had phenomenal results. So he said, really tune in, and the plants will speak to you. David Winston. We have after our last shine, he was supposed to speak at the last shine, but then at last minute he couldn't, so he did a class afterwards for us that where it was recorded, and it was lovely. Did any of you come to it? Did you hear David Winston? Did you come to that call? It's recorded. It was really good. Stephen Herod Bruner. Bruner. B-U-H-N-E-R, nice, and has a series of like talking to the plants and reading their messages. So, you know, we can combine biochemistry and Western type of principles, left brain and right brain, because right, we are right here, we're in the room, and we see your physical bodies and the chairs and the rug and the stage. And what messages are going on in this room that we don't see? The internet. The wireless internet, the signals that those people in, some of them in England, are seeing us here. There's the invisible packets of information that we understand from a science perspective and use, like wireless and TV transmission. And then the stuff that Deborah will talk about later is our biofield around us and how that can be communicating. And so we can combine it all and come up with what the person really needs. It's really, really beautiful. So the ones on here that can be adaptogenic, that can be used both ways, are American ginseng and Siberian ginseng. And some of them are a little bit more, you know, like the American ginseng is really good for that nervous indigestion that people have, that jitters, that butterfly stomach can be very good. When they have overworking, they're mentally exhausted, it can be good for that, good for circulation, good for blood sugar, although, you know, it's mixed feelings about the blood sugar. I think it can actually stimulate insulin. So I think it's good for type 1 diabetes, may not be good for insulin resistant type diabetes. You have to play with it. The Eleuthero is for the exhaustion. So you would do that at the times of day where they're just down, and it's also good for stage 3. Good for stage 3. And then licorice you can use in stage 2 at the times when they're low. You're not going to do it if they have a spike in the middle of the afternoon and tell them to take licorice, but a lot of people are really low in the morning and afternoon, and I'll just say, have a few drops of licorice in the morning, a few drops of licorice in the afternoon, or drink some licorice tea. Or one of my favorites is there's these little licorice mints that are just licorice extract in solid form, and they can suck on them. It's one of my favorite things, especially if I'm traveling, I'll take one or two of those, and they have them flavored with a little mint extract or anise extract. Those are my favorites. Okay. And then we have, Romania. I love Romania. Romania is good for kidney as well as adrenal, and it's just so grounding and supportive. And you can actually, it actually can help with the pituitary and help that with regulating the whole HPAT axis. So I really like Romania, especially in that stage 2. And you can get Romania as these little patties. You can get whole pieces of Romania. It's processed Romania, not the unprocessed raw Romania. It has a different flavor, different effect in the body. But you can actually get them as pieces. And Mountain Rose Herbs sells them that way. And personally, I like eating it. Some people think it's a little too, like, almost dirt-like, but I like the feeling, like chewing on it. It's very nice. Or you can make it into a tea, or you can get a tincture. Good for kidney function as well, like upregulating the removal of toxins. And then stage 3, that's for what? Okay, you want to bring them up. So American ginseng is very good for that. It just helps to rev up, but in a good way. One of my herbalist teachers said she was talking, she had this woman in labor. She mostly did midwifery with herbalisms, and she said, this woman is just like this hard labor. She was exhausted. The baby wasn't coming. She says, what can I give her? What can I give her? Should I stimulate the labor and get this over with for her, or should I let her go to sleep? And she goes, we'll give her ginseng and let ginseng decide. And she gave her the ginseng, and the woman fell sound asleep, slept for a couple of hours, woke up and pushed, baby was out. So, you know, it's like letting the magic of nature help the person decide what to do. So she could have given her something stimulating and something that was going to stimulate the Pitocin and stimulate the contractions, or just allow the body to do what it needed to do. So the Siberian ginseng again, the licorice again, and the Romania. So you can tell by the ones that I've listed as stage 3, when you look at the stage 2, whatever's listed as stage 2 that is also on stage 3, it means you do it for the times when they're low on stage. Okay? So that's your herbs. Let me tell you what else I have for you on the adrenals. So then we mix the substance. So some of this is repeated, so we know that repetition makes you learn better. So I have substances for adrenal fatigue based on stage, and I've listed some of the things other than, so for stage, it's got the column, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3. It lists the herbs and the nutrients. 29. And there's a more detailed version of this in the packet that goes through all the herbs and the indications for them. And we have that in the adrenal fatigue program, the CAFE program. which I highly recommend if you're not going to go through the entire program, to look at doing the blood sugar program, the CAFE program, and the Before Be Gone program, and get into the Vital Community. That'll get you started, right? If you feel like you want to wait a year before you do it, or you just want to do it on your own, I would say do those programs, because that's going to go into, I'll give you a lot more step by step, and you'll also get a little bit of help from me because there's monthly calls with me. So phosphatidylserine, I want to talk about that a little bit. It's a particular amino acid that has been shown to, I mentioned earlier, help to rebuild the hippocampus, the damaged cells that the cortisol affects. It also, it brings down the cortisol levels. So people are having trouble falling asleep. What we'll do is we will, if it's cortisol related, like you do the stress test and the cortisol goes up at midnight, then we'll have them do the phosphorylated serine. If they're having trouble falling asleep, we have them do the Siriphos or phosphorylated serine at dinner time and then again at bedtime to give it a little bit of time to work. If they're having trouble with just waking up in the middle of the night, then we usually do it just at bedtime. And then if they wake up during the night, we do it again. And anytime they wake up during the night, you do another dose. And then over time, you know, it takes a week or 2 weeks, it calms them down enough that they sleep through the night. There are other things like that, and they're listed in the more detailed chart that's in the book. Magnolia is another one. There's some formulas that have magnolia. You can get a tincture of that. That can calm them down. And then, of course, some of the others we talked about earlier, like the milky oat and the I usually don't give rhodiola at bedtime, but sometimes I would. GABA sometimes for people would help to get them down. It just depends on what's going on. So these are just general guidelines. Okay. And then this other you can read. It talks about interpreting the test. So we talked about it yesterday, but this will give you more detailed directions on interpreting that. That's on page 30, 31. And then let's go to page 32. And we've got your results, adrenal stress test. We've got alarm, stage one, stage two, stage three, and the kinds of things that you're going to find. So if you see the total cortisol is normal, and the DHA is normal, and the secretory IgA is normal, and the progesterone is normal, then you've got a normal person, okay? If you've got any of these off, so if the cortisol is high and the DHA is normal and everything else is normal, it's likely one of those temporary alarm states, and give them a couple of weeks to settle down, help them to support them so that it doesn't get worse, then they can go back down. That's like the ebb and the flow. The tiger's chasing, the tiger's gone, let's go eat some breakfast. Tiger's chasing, let's go back. That's not what most people do. It's and then it becomes constant, and that's where we're at stage one. And you'll see a high cortisol with a low DHEA. That's the indication, high cortisol, low DHEA. Normal or low secretory IgA, because remember the secretory IgA gets wonked by the that's a technical word, by the way. Gets wonked. We were talking about technical words last night in our little discussion. Wonked is another technical word. Bonked, wonked, whatever. Anyway, 1 second, and normal or low, and then the progesterone. And these are tests that the Diagnostics test uses. They do the secretory IgA and the progesterone as well, so it gives you an idea of how long it's been going on. Some of the ones like BioHealth doesn't do the secretory IgA yet. They're adding it. And then Genova. They usually just do the cortisol and the DHEA. So if you don't have these, no problem. You just use the cortisol and the DHEA to give you an idea of what stage it's in. We showed you the chart. This is just to show you on paper so that you can go through the test and go, okay, let me check it off. It's going to take some manual processing at the beginning. And then let me just go through the signs and symptoms, and then we'll take questions there. The signs and symptoms, if the person doesn't do the test, then you want to be a clinician, and you want to be able to say, okay, well, based on their symptoms. So what about in a normal person, everything's normal, right? Their blood pressure's good, their energy's good, their immune system's functioning, they have good libido, salt cravings, no, perspiration's normal, memory's normal. But then if they're in the stage one, you're going to see their blood pressure could be normal, but it might be high. Their energy is going to be wired and tired, the periods of up and down, up and down. The immune system might be impaired. They may tell you, I feel great all week, and you know, I'm up and down all week. I can't wait for the weekend. I'm going to go play golf, and then I feel sick on the weekend because they have that let down, and the adrenaline's not keeping them up, and the cortisol's not keeping them up, and they let down. You might see that. You don't see salt cravings in hyperadrenal. You don't see those until either stage 2 or stage 3. Perspiration is usually excessive in that stage, and their memory, you know, they may find that they have good days, bad days, good periods of the day, and bad, based on when the cortisol is high, the memory gets impaired, short-term memory gets impaired. And then stage 2, again, the blood pressure could be normal or low. And low, oftentimes it's low going from seated or laying down to standing. So it's orthostatic hypotension, big word for blood pressure that goes down and as a result of postural change. The immune system might be impaired. They may be getting more colds and flus. Their libido is probably low, even at that middle stage. So even though it might look normal on the chart without looking at the DHEA, you go, oh yeah, they have no libido. It's likely. Perspiration is variable. Sometimes they sweat a lot. Sometimes they can't. And their memory is failing. When they're in stage 3, the blood pressure is almost always going to be low. Their energy is going to be very tired consistently. Their immune system is likely compared. They tell you they get every cold and flu that goes around. They have salt cravings that are really strong, and you need to tell them to cave into those salt cravings because the adrenals need it. When you're in a low adrenal state, you need that salt because you're peeing it all out because it affects aldosterone as well. Perspiration is minimal. Like they just don't sweat. You have people that tell me that they just don't sweat, and suddenly we'll say, you're starting to sweat. Yes, your adrenals are getting better. So if you're monitoring it from signs and symptoms, you can look at this chart and just kind of see where they're at and go, oh, you're improving. And then some of the tests I talked to you about the other day, you can tell by testing the blood pressure from seated to standing, by shining the light in their eyes and seeing how long they can hold it, and by seeing how some of these signs and symptoms are going. So if you have somebody who just budget-wise can't do it, okay, so we're at break time, and we still have a bunch more to go, which we'll finish this afternoon. And we'll go into the thyroid, and we'll show you a few more of those tests, quickly flash those by so you can see and see if you can pick those out. Okay, so we're going to take a break. What time is the break till? So till 10:45, we're going to... We're supposed to take it at 10:30 or we're supposed to? 10:45. Well, I was going to do Q&A before he started anyway, so it's 10:45 is fine. And you'll start right up. Okay? So 10:45, come back and you're in for a treat. You're going to hear Artemis, and he's going to talk about the emotional and tapping and some techniques that you can actually do. Okay?